My name's Katie. You want some cool new music to listen to? Want to know about up-and-coming artists, albums, and more? Well, come hang out with me every Tuesday from 12 to 1. Raccoon City's where I'll be. Hope to see you there. And welcome back to CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. You are currently tuned in to my open mic, where we are kind of just talking through some interesting and cool Christmas traditions and facts and the history behind it all, and relating it a bit to the UK, as I do a lot of the time on my open mic here. So coming up next, we now have something that is, I think, very distinctly UK, very Christmassy in the UK, and that is Christmas adverts, particularly off of this department store company called John Lewis. These kind of like festive adverts have become very ingrained in UK culture and very much now are synonymous with the start of the Christmas season. So it's relatively new, and I mentioned the organization John Lewis because they are sort of responsible for starting this craze. Back in 2007 was when the first kind of iconic Christmas advert was released, and there was like an explosion of other businesses following suit after about 2009 to hope that they would see a benefit into from these adverts, and it started to be named the John Lewis effect. And these are kind of, these adverts are like heartwarming stories that are based on kind of universal themes that are associated with Christmas, so like nostalgia, family, and friendship. And they're designed to kind of basically pull at your heartstrings and just give you kind of a warming feeling. And they're now like a huge like production show that happens every year, and it's kind of like almost a competition between brands. Like, we now have supermarkets that get involved, kind of like competing to see who can get the best Christmas advert. And it was quite interesting because I found a quote of an executive creative director from BBH London, and she said it's become our version of the Super Bowl, just with more tinsel. And I couldn't have phrased it probably any better, because that is basically what it is. It's such a big thing in England, and the minute that John Lewis releases its Christmas advert is when you know that the Christmas season has started back home. So kind of a very strange and interesting one. I guess most people wouldn't expect Christmas adverts to be such a big part of Christmas culture in the UK. But yeah, and now kind of changing tune a bit and going to talk a bit about mistletoe, which is, I would say, more very traditionally Christmas than TV adverts. But the practice of hanging mistletoe in your home at Christmas definitely goes back to the Victorian era and the Victorian love of taking a Celtic tradition, because it goes back before then, but taking a Celtic tradition and kind of embellishing it. And the roots of the mistletoe tradition are kind of complex when I was reading into it. There seems to be lots of kind of different branches to go off of. So there was something about the fact that mistletoe has the ability to survive suspended above the ground. And in mythology, they said that mistletoe is actually mentioned as far back as both Druid and Norse lore. So going sort of into the Druid one, there was an elder that mentioned that Druid rituals concerning mistletoe stated that mistletoe growing on oak was regarded to be the most sacred, and with its harvest requiring intricate rituals involving the cutting of the bough with a golden sickle and catching it in a cloak before it touched the ground. There was also a mention that you had to sacrifice two white bulls as part of the ritual of harvesting mistletoe. And that it was often given as a drink to help fertility in both humans and animals, which is kind of strange because it was believed to be a powerful antidote to poisons, but it's also very toxic in its own nature. Now, it's not known how accurate this account of how mistletoe harvest is, but it is seen to be like supported because there's a lot of documentation on similar practices in other Celtic ceremonies. And then you go into Norse mythology and it actually mentions mistletoe in the story of the goddess Frigg, who is the first wife of Odin. And the story goes that Frigg dreamt of the death of her son Balder, who was the god of light, and demanded that all living things swear to do him no harm. And for reasons that weren't clear, mistletoe was missed from the list of all living things to swear not to do him any harm. So Loki, the god of mischief, noticed this and created a spear from the plant mistletoe, and that was given to Baldur's blind brother Hoder. Now, Hoder joined in on a game of throwing objects at Balder, accidentally killing him with the mistletoe spear. Now, the death of the god of light supposedly then brought about a long darkness of the northern winter, and then the tears that were shed by his mother Frigg transformed into glistening white berries on the mistletoe, in which Frigg decreed that never again would the plant result in harm, and would instead promote love and peace. So even two warriors passing accidentally beneath it should kiss, lay down their weapons, and set aside their dispute. Now this, combined with kind of the druids' ritual of the plant being related to fertility benefits, led to the kind of tradition of it being adopted as a decoration to invite peace and prosperity into the home, and also for a while fertility, and then to keep away less desirable influences. Now it's kind of grown from that to this tradition of kissing underneath mistletoe. So it's said that a man can only kiss a woman on the cheek, and for each kiss a berry must be removed from the mistletoe, and once all the berries are gone the kissing must stop. And that's the like story behind it, although it's quite interesting that it's mistletoe that's related with this tradition of like peace and love, when it's got a, like it said, its own kind of toxic nature to it. It's quite juxtaposing. But yeah, that is kind of the story behind mistletoe and why we use it at Christmas. Now, I wanted to talk about something that's very kind of innate to England, and that is the Royal Christmas speech that is very distinctly part of UK Christmas culture as well. And it stretches back to the 1930s, with starting from King Charles's great-grandfather, George V. And it was initially put forward by the founder of the BBC in the 1920s, kind of to capitalize on the emerging medium of radio. But the King, George V, didn't want to do it. He said it was, the radio was more suitable for entertainment than serious speeches. So he didn't actually, he wasn't actually convinced to do it until about 1932. So it took about 12 years. And so it was, the first speech was used to kind of inaugurate what was then called the Empire Service, which is now known as the BBC World Service, and it would be aired at 3 p.m. London time, so that as many people from across the empire as possible could tune in, and it reached an audience of over 20 million. And so this is how the Christmas Day royal speech was born, and he made four speeches between 1932 and 1935 before he passed away in January of 1936. Now, his successor was his son, Edward the eighth, but he actually never made a Christmas Day speech because he abdicated the throne in early December of 1936. So his brother took over, and that was King George VI. And so with all of that happening, the next speech was held in 1937. And with the outbreak of the Second World War happening in 1939, it kind of cemented the Christmas Day speech as a staple of the festive season to give a bit of hope to the country. And he viewed it as a way to unite the country, boost morale. But he passed away kind of shortly after, with his daughter taking over, Queen Elizabeth II. Now, she ascended to the throne in 1952 and chose to continue the tradition. And her speech that she did in 1957 was the first to be televised, taking on the kind of format that we know today, of a section of the BBC always dedicated to a televised Christmas Day speech by the monarch. So there was that, but in 1959 and 1963, they were broadcast only solely over radio because the Queen was actually pregnant at the time, and so she didn't want to be filmed on TV doing her speech. And then we have had a speech every year from the Queen from 1970 till 2021. And she unfortunately died in September of 2022. So the next person to take on this now tradition was our now King Charles III, her son. And he has now done, he has done two Christmas Day speeches, and this year will be his third one that he will be taking over. And it's a very kind of strong tradition back home. You kind of all gather your family around into watch the speech, and it's not usually a very long speech, but it's a tradition that you all sit there, everyone's silent, and you all just watch the monarch speak. So yeah, and just a little quick break again before some last few facts. I have kind of some synth electric dance pop music, which is a bit different than what I've just been playing, but we are going to start with the band that's actually from here in Vancouver as well, called Dirty Radio, with their song Georgia off of their album Nightshades.
Move your body now, ain't no crime, baby, move in line with your hips and thighs. Move your body now, ain't no crime, baby, move in line with your hips and thighs. Move your body now, ain't no crime, baby, move in line with your hips and thighs. Move your body now, ain't no crime, baby, ain't no crime. Georgia, ain't no crime when you move your feet in Georgia. We go blind, sipping on moonshine down in Florida. Need more fire, bring that heat like down in Georgia. All the way down in Georgia. Ain't no crime when you move your feet in Georgia. We go blind, sipping on moonshine down in Florida. Need more fire, bring that heat like down in Georgia. Down in Georgia.
And welcome back to CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Campus and Community Radio. And you are currently tuned in to my open mic, where I have just been going through kind of interesting Christmas traditions and facts, particularly ones from back home in the UK. And speaking of which, I have a very kind of strange one next, which is something that I didn't realize was a thing until a couple of years ago. But it is called the Christmas Day / like Boxing Day swim. And across the UK, you will see people jumping into the sea, essentially. And they will be wearing anything from like swimming costumes to like silly dress up in festive attire. And it's kind of held by multiple organizations and clubs across the UK. So it's kind of hard to figure out where it actually originated from. But the majority say that the home place of this festive swim is in Brighton, which is kind of a famous seaside town in the UK. And it's apparently started with Brighton's swimming club's yearly swim tradition that dates back to 1860. And it says it makes it England's oldest community Christmas swim. Now, it has developed to lots of different swimming clubs across the coast of the UK, north, south, east, west, all of it. And there's one in London, actually, where you can only participate if you are members of the Serpentine Swimming Club. And it's this Peter Pan Cup race that takes place on Christmas Day at the Serpentine in Hyde Park in central London. Now, this has kind of been around since 1864, so about 4 years after Brighton started its festive swim. And it is believed to be the world's oldest continuously contested swimming competition. And it's where participants will wear Santa hats for the race, and the winner is crowned with a trophy every year. And it's always in the news every single year. But it's kind of developed as a tradition into not only just a Christmas Day swim, but also a Boxing Day swim, as people view it as a adrenaline rush to burn off all of the calories and eating and drinking that takes place on Christmas Day and Christmas Eve. So it's definitely a very interesting one, and I can definitely tell you the English Channel and the seas around England are definitely not the warmest even in summer, so it's a very interesting tradition to have. And finally, the last one that I have for you, which is very big in England, is pantomimes. They take place predominantly around the Christmas period and are always based on well-known children's stories such as Peter Pan, Aladdin, Sleeping Beauty, etc. And they're not solely performed in theatres anymore either. There's Village Hall productions all throughout Britain. And it's kind of funny to have more of a local amateur dramatic production than this lavish professional one. And it's a great, like, comedic family experience. You have audience participation in it, and they kind of are solely around, like, slapstick comedy. And they follow, like, the stereotypical fairy tale format of the villain being defeated and true love has conquered and everyone lives happily ever after. But they kind of do really exaggerated physical comedy where, for example, in like Cinderella, the ugly stepsisters, rather than being played by female actresses, they'll have them played by men, and there will be like an animal that's made up of like two different people. So it's like very exaggerated comedy. Like, it's almost grotesque in a way, but it's modeled on like early Elizabethan and Stuart era of kind of theatre. And it like became an English tradition back in like the 18th century, when kind of entertainment was being heavily influenced by the Italian commedia dell'arte, which had a mix of humour, mime, like spectacle and dances. Like, pantomimes have to be this really exaggerated spectacle. So they make them very grotesque. And the reason that they became actually associated with Christmas was because in the 19th century, there was a theatre manager that actually limited pantomime performances in Drury Lane only to the festive season, because they were just these very grotesque performances. So that's how they actually became associated with Christmas. And now they're a big Christmas tradition across the UK to go during the Christmas period and check out a pantomime. They're definitely very funny. I remember going to a lot when I was a kid. And I think they are definitely more targeted to children. But it's another very interesting and strange UK Christmas kind of tradition. So yeah, that is all of the Christmas facts that I have for you and kind of weird traditions. I hope you all have a wonderful Christmas and Happy New Year. Thank you all for tuning into my open mic today, actually. I hope you have a lovely rest of your day and enjoyed the show. As always, tune in again next week at 12 p.m. For some more music. And I don't think I'll have a topic for next week, but I think I'm going to be playing, because it'll be my last open mic before the end of the year, I'll be playing some of my favourite songs since I started my open mics. And I'm going to leave you with a song that I kind of rediscovered here at the station earlier this week. They are an Irish rock band that was formed back in Dublin in 1976. And this is one of their most successful songs to date. So this is With or Without You by the band U2 off of their 1987 album, The Joshua Tree.
With or without you, with or without you. This holiday season, when it's time to choose the right tree, some trees will be chosen for their size, some for their shape, and some for their shelter. Let's have fewer people under a tree this Christmas. Don't let homelessness assumptions get in the way of homelessness solutions. Go to CanadaCanDoIt.ca. Help the Canadian Alliance to end homelessness.
Quelle est l'importance de cette station pour vous? Une station locale, des nouvelles et des informations qui comptent. Vous ne trouverez rien de tel ailleurs. Maintenant, nous avons besoin de vous, de votre voix, pour soutenir l'initiative des radios communautaires. La radio a été là pour vous dans des moments importants, et maintenant, c'est à votre tour. Vous pouvez vous joindre à la lutte pour l'avenir de la radio communautaire sur monirc.ca. Encore monirc.ca, des voix locales qui façonnent notre communauté.
Every Friday at noon for Roots and Berries. Tune in to hear bluegrass, old-time music, and other rootsy little nuggets with a focus on Canadian players, singers, and pickers. That's Roots and Berries, Fridays over the noon hour, right here on CJSF 90.1 FM.
The staff and volunteers at CJSF wish you a safe and happy Christmas, as well as a happy new year.